Welcome to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, and we are burning down the house every Wednesday at 7 at HeritageRadioNetwork.com. But you already knew that because you found us on the internet. I'm Curtis B. Wayne, and this is Burning Down the House, in which we tear down, lay forth, and build up the ideas, attitudes, passions, biases, fantasies, and opinions that inform and direct the creation of our built environment. This evening, we are brought to you by TechServe, TechServe.com, your number one source for everything related to the Macintosh computer on West 23rd Street in Manhattan. And this evening, I have presently two groovy people in studio. We have Caroline Bailey. She's a cultural anthropologist and a writer of stand-up, dark stand-up comedy. Welcome.
Hello, thank you.
And architect and professor Jake Allspector, who's been with us frequently.
How do you do?
Good evening. And
nice to have your program back.
Oh, God. it's such an enriching experience that I can't help but just belch with
now you
pleasure.
Have to go to the food commercial.
Yeah. One of the things that Caroline does involves the placement of older people into appropriate housing. And all of us boomers are seriously challenged by what are we going to do as we age, because there's so many of us as a cohort. And, you know, I don't...
Why are you looking at me?
I'm looking at Caroline, too. I don't want to live on a golf course, okay? For me, an ideal retirement city would be Paris.
It's a good start.
And I would have to improve my Francais, but it has a walkable street organization, and it's got a good metro, and the food is damn good, and I really don't mind that it rains a lot, because I'm going to be doing radio forever, and I can be indoors doing that. Bonjour. Anyway, so Caroline, you have a web presence. What is that called?
Our website is retiringbydesign.com. It's a tool for prospective residents, people that are looking to retire, to take a quiz. You can put in what your interests are, where you want to retire. They basically give you options and tell you what each community has to offer, down to what religion you are, what you prefer, what your interests are culturally, and if you like the beach, if you want to be more inland, everything. They put it together, and they'll send you options of your best retirement option.
Who's they?
Well, the website, the software.
Really?
It'll generate
it for you.
It is.
Really? And now, do you get a fee for that? Is it a referral fee that your website gets?
No, we aren't really working for a profit right now with that. It's really kind of a labor of love, and something we really believe in, to help people find where they want to go. We do, you know, through advertising, and different communities invest money. But for the resident, it's a free tool.
Well, how cool is that?
Sounds very cool.
Yeah.
I think I'll go visit it after this.
I mean, in terms of making the world a better place, I mean, that's fabulous. So what other activities have you had relating to elder housing?
We also have a management community, a company called By Design Solutions. And so mm-hmm. we manage different communities, including Princeton Windrose out in Princeton. We do sales and marketing. We offer the actual communities our services, where Retiring by Design is more for the resident.
Potential resident. Okay. And what is that particular one in Princeton like? What is the model? Is it assisted living, independent living?
It's definitely independent living. It's not a CCRC, which is Continuing Care Retirement Community. The difference is with the independent living like Princeton, you don't have an aide available. You have your own doctor off-site. You're more independent.
You do your own cooking,
though you do pay a service fee for people to do your maintenance. You never have to do lawn upkeep or housing upkeep.
So that's like a condo where the association takes care of the landscaping.
It's a lot like that. And then they have the different options of the townhomes. And you can be more private. You can be a little off the land as well. It's like a gym membership as well, you know, and tennis courts, things like that.
Uh-huh.
Resort living in a way.
Hmm. So what does it cost to live in something like this?
Depending on what you're looking for.
Good question.
With Princeton, you actually buy the units. So you can pay $195,000 for a smaller unit, up to $495,000 for a really large one with views of the lake and the mountains.
Mountains?
Uh-huh.
In Princeton?
Well, small mountains. Hills.
Hills.
Trees.
The hills of Morris County. Okay.
But it is beautiful, and they have the walking trails and everything else. So the difference is you actually buy your property.
And then what's the monthly fee for...
It can range from $1,500 to $2,500, depending on what you elect that you want as your services. You can do meal plans. You can do 15 to 30 a month. Or if you're going off-site, we have transportation, so they'll drive you wherever you want to go.
This is like living in a dorm and having the cafeteria.
It's more like a country club or an inn or a hotel.
Well, yeah.
It is more like a country club.
Apartment hotel, except houses, right?
Right.
Are they attach the houses?
No. You have your own yard. I mean, your neighbor is basically your neighbor.
It's
separated.
It's basically a separate house.
It is.
So what's different about it? What appeals to the senior community?
To not have
are
to
we, Are we
do
supposed
upkeep.
To use the word senior?
I don't know what the
That's
word
fine.
Is.
Yeah, senior's fine. But you don't have to do the upkeep. You don't have to clean your gutters and mow your lawn and fix your shutters and... You know, fix your door and
but
your
you
bathroom.
Could, but you
and
could get that at a conventional condo that has people of all ages, also.
You could. This is more of a community where people go. A lot of people were already friends going in, and they want to have a community of people of the same age.
Uh-huh.
So.
Really.
And then the restaurant is a formal dining area.
I see.
What a snore.
Now, why would you want? Yeah, why would you want to live among people of your same age? Tell me about that.
Or, I mean, by choice exclusively.
I'm
going
to be. Yeah. I'm supposed to be the devil's advocate here, I think. Oh, is that my role?
You can do whatever
sure.
you want.
Oh, okay.
I think the people.
Can I talk
that
about the T-shirt I should have worn tonight?
Sure.
Old Dudes Rock.
Old Dudes Rock.
Yes.
Nice.
I see.
I missed, you know, I forgot.
I'm 38 and holding, man, you know?
Yeah, 38 dog years.
I look pretty good for 97, don't I?
You do. You look good.
Yeah. It's my birthday on Saturday, by the way.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
Many happy returns.
Thank you. Going to have dinner with my daughter. In Hoboken.
That's even better.
She just got back from Cairo. She did 10 days in Egypt.
Nice.
And she looks like an Egyptian. She's this,
does she, you know, walk this like
little
an Egyptian?
Yes, she's a little Scandinavian girl with a deep, deep, deep tan and blazing blue eyes. It's
very nice.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Yes.
And she's not going to take care of me when I'm old. So
you don't think so?
I doubt it. You know, she's very independent. And... she's got her own thing going, you know? So I can't rely on that. I mean, I got the three kids, and I can't rely on any of them necessarily.
So speaking of taking care, what happens
charitable.
In your community when someone gets sick? You know, or disabled or whatever, needs? I mean, can the people bring in home care?
Yes, definitely.
People like
we
that?
Have a lot of residents that do bring in home care. Usually in the actual condo of the rooms where it's just a two-bedroom, a kitchen, and living room, aside from the townhomes, you'll see a lot of that. You'll see a lot of aides.
Do you have buses through. That take people to Atlantic City?
We have cars that take people to Atlantic City.
I had to mention that cliche.
They'll take you anywhere, museums, anywhere. A lot of travel to the city.
Mm-hmm. That's where I would want to retire. I mean, you know. In fact, I think so many people...
You would want to retire to Atlantic City?
No. To the city.
Oh, to the city.
I think that's what you said, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. To the city.
So, yes, I mean, you know, the city is the best theme park. And many empty nesters are now discovering, they're all moving back into the... They all want to move back in the city.
You mean the prototypical, it's not any city, it is the city. It could be any city.
I guess it could be, yeah.
Not New York, not
well,
Manhattan.
Well, for me, only New York, but Paris would do.
Paris is good.
Said.
I always thought of Boston as being a good place to be old. If you could live near to the Athenaeum and belong, and it's very walkable. Of course, the weather is beastly, but there are things to do within walking distance, and the transit system is pretty good.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing. I wonder if you know, do you know if there are any urban models that are like this? In other words, people live in homes in the suburbs, and they have condos in the city, right?
Right. So and, the independent living do they have within condo? A city?
Yeah.
There's not, there aren't
not
many
that
options.
You'd want to, but yeah.
There really aren't. It's usually more rural.
Right.
For that.
I'm looking at this tear sheet that you handed me, Jake.
Where that's the old model. That's the old model.
Yeah, the Columbus Housing Authority in Columbus, Indiana. Well, that's an esteemed association.
Yeah, that was a fun job.
Invited to do something in Columbus, Indiana. You know about Columbus, Indiana, Caroline?
I don't.
It's a manufacturing town. The Cummins Engine Company has been making diesel engines, tractor engines there for... 100 years, but the people who owned it, the Miller family, decided they wanted to give back to the city. And so starting in...
Well, 41, I think, first.
Around the time of World War II, they started hiring whoever was a name brand architect of the moment to design one building in Columbus. So there's a Robert Venturi firehouse... almost anybody, including Jake, has built something there. And so it's a very interesting, it's almost like specimens of the history.
It's like
of
a World's Fair.
Of post-war architecture.
It's a town. It's a 30,000-person town.
Yeah.
And this was HUD housing. So they availed themselves of HUD housing funds the way any city or housing authority would. But they hired... architects through the fee program, and so the foundation pays the architect's fees, and as a result we were able to have more money, a little bit more money, because architects don't get too many fees, but too much,
no,
but a little more money to cycle back into the project.
Okay.
So we were able to afford outdoor space.
You're 6.5% went back into the architecture, which probably just about paid for this sundial that I'm looking at here.
The sundial and the balconies.
Yeah.
The little balconies off each unit, which we thought was very important for elderly people to be able to have outdoor space.
Especially
elderly who can't get around and go out.
And especially for Southern Indiana, where you might not want to have to be indoors with the air conditioning. You might want to be actually sort of on the porch.
Yeah.
So Columbus is out in the middle of, you're passing sorghum or milo or soybeans, mile after mile of just rolling Southern Indiana territory. Mm-hmm. And then there's this town. And, it's a bit of a freaky thing.
It is pretty freaky.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the old model.
That's
the old model.
Yeah, it's a standalone.
Which is kind of, one bedroom.
I'm looking
24
at it.
One bedroom units and
it's
some
architecture.
Central facilities.
You've got some
Thank
nice
you.
Fractured planes going here. It's a building that's just out in the landscape by itself. There's really no communal space other than the lobby and,
Well, there's a community room on the second and third floor.
Oh, well, that's good.
And the community room has, besides a big space for everybody, a double height space, there's a place where a hairdresser from outside can come in and do people's hair.
Nice. That's
nice.
And, and a little game room and a little kitchenette so that people could have communal dinners.
Right.
And there were a number of things, actually, that HUD had in their program, in the typical program for elderly housing facility
that they're required. Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we went a little bit beyond that, but and the housing authority was very progressive in trying to advocate a good facility. But it was rental. That's rental for poor elderly folks.
So, fellas in the booth, let's take a little break. Let's listen to some music that was composed by Nat and Jack of HRN, play me a little Knife Show stuff, will you?
But whatever you do, don't call me sugar. Keep your promise till you're blue. Don't call me sugar. Feed your fish. 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 Feed your fish, feed your fish, feed your fish, feed your fish.
Burning down the house. We're back. That actually
I wasn't born
that
there.
Was not
I was
Knife Show.
Much all
that was
immigrated.
Could you guys have your conversation, you know, take it outside, will you? We're trying to do some radio here.
Let's go.
We're trying to do some radio here, doctor. Burning down the house, brought to you by TechServe, everything related to the Macintosh computer on West 23rd Street in Manhattan. And did you know they have a pro audio shop? They got some really hot stuff there. You know, I've been remiss. I have not mentioned for the last several weeks that we are produced, tagged by Dan Brindell, and we are engineered by Nat Wiener. Thank you, guys. You do such a spectacular job. Today, we're talking about what do we do with the old folk, and we will be old eventually, all of us, unless we die young and poetically famous like, you know, Hendrix or something like that. Too late for me.
Too late for me.
Yeah.
It's too late for me.
We do have Vox Populi here, a spokesperson from the informed and interested lay community. But I don't think that Miss Raimi wants to speak. She's just going to enjoy the sangria and sit there. And although you could tell us about your experience of your Law and Order taping later. I mean, it's my show. I can talk about anything I want to. She's occasionally an actress, you see, in Law and Order, which it does some filming in New York City.
She has microphone fright.
Yeah, well, not everyone is just born irrepressible and radio-minded. We were talking about housing for older people and the old model of barracks for the old people.
That's true. It's kind of.
I mean, it's like we're just warehousing them. I mean, you may as well just, you know.
It was like a factory.
Yeah, you know, put on the straitjacket, get hooked up on the meat hook, and you just hang out until you.
I prefer the Soylent Green solution.
Yeah.
Myself.
Ew.
You know that.
I do.
Now there are so
it's people.
Yes,
it's people.
Before we went on the air, we were talking about cultural anthropology, your specialty, and you know, Margaret Mead. Yes or no?
Me. Yes.
Always yes. Always yes.
Ruth Benedict.
Who?
Ruth Benedict.
I don't.
Ruth Benedict.
She's good too.
I don't know her. I'm ignorant when it comes to these people.
That was my. That was a Cooper. That was my. That was our brush with
our
social anthropology.
I'll have to look.
Quackayoodles.
Have to look
and,
anyway, I was lucky enough to meet Dr. Mead on two different occasions,
wow.
And she talked about the challenges of growing old and the limitations of a conventional marriage that is, you know, supposedly going to last forever and ever and ever, when, in fact, it was her idea, and perhaps it's not unique to her, that there should be different marriages for different periods of time.
I'm for that.
Oh, so was she, you know, a collegiate marriage, a young professional marriage, a marriage for the purpose of having children and raising a family. What happens after that could be with someone else. And I see you're smiling in agreement. Yes,
I agree. And even by default, sometimes that happens to us by default. And
of course.
That's just what happens. So, of course, I agree.
Well, it's eminently reasonable. Now, that fits.
So how many of the people that live in your community actually are married? And or are single? And what is the social life like?
Most are single, and the social life. There are, you know, interested parties in each other. So that's and when you asked earlier, why would you want to live in a community with everyone that's your age?
That's why.
I tell you, you're going out, you're socializing, you find new romantic interests. Whether your spouse has passed away or you're single and you've been single for a few years. And
yeah, but how many people are in this community? The one that you manage in Princeton.
Ah, my lord, there's over 100 townhomes and over 500 condos, so...
A good number of people.
Yeah.
Could be between 500 and 1,000 or... So.
And people take... I've seen it. They take each other on dates. They have a restaurant within there that you have to, you know, you have to wear your jacket and your tie.
So it's very much like a country club.
It really
is. A residential
club. You're right. But in a really great way. You're going to do what's best for you and what you feel is comfortable. And a lot of people like that. So
yeah.
That's what they're going to do.
A lot of people do like country
And they
clubs.
Have the money and they want to do it.
But everyone lives basically the same way they would live if they were elsewhere, except that they're collected.
Exactly.
Together.
Exactly.
In a community of similar age. Right?
Exactly. It's not something I would do personally because I'm a different type of person, but it's great to see... that you can keep the lifestyle you've always had and that you want to keep and you just move it
Fuck that.
Towards that.
I don't want to have the lifestyle I've always had. I want to do something different, you know?
Well, you can ask. I was going to speculate that the ratio of male to female, I don't know what it is, that kind of community.
Probably.
I would say it's a bit more female, but everywhere is a bit more female.
True. Girls for
every Women live
boy.
Longer than men. It's just how it works.
Yeah. It's true. So, but then there are other models for...
Yeah, we live well.
What that mean? What does that mean?
I don't know, but I have to believe it.
We live well, too.
In Jake's case, it just means that he has a mellow and romantic life of creating.
He's got a lime in his drink.
Creating. Yeah, that's right. Well, that's right. But there are these other models that other people in other parts of the world, and that we've just, you know, been, before we went on the air, talking about a little bit, collective housing. And indeed, it is collective in terms of collectivists, in terms of old-fashioned Bolshevik, the collective, it is in that...
Communal. Communal. Use the word.
Yeah, it is the collective. It is a commune. And you will have your own space, a room or two of your own. But then you share the living room, and you share the kitchen and the laundry, and you may even have various businesses that are organized as part of the collective, so that if women weave and they have children, the men can watch the children while the women are weaving. The men may do woodworking. I mean, this actually, in practice, is like a big extended Amish family. What?
It's like the Shakers.
Yeah, well, the Shakers weren't supposed to have sex, but they did. And there were Shaker babies.
A lot of people weren't supposed
to have sex, but they did. They didn't stay in the community, I don't think, right? That's why the community eventually dwindled.
Well, the community of Shakers dwindled for two reasons. One, the end of the world did not come, as it was being expected, you know, in 1859. And two, you were supposed to be celibate because it was a sin against the newborns, knowing that the world was going to end.
To bring
someone into the world when the world was going to end, that was cruel. So, you know, you shouldn't do that. Now, the world didn't end in 1859. It didn't end again in 1867. And eventually there were no more Shakers, because the whole notion that the world was going to come to the end, which is why you had to dance around shaking in fear, because God's heavy hand was coming down to judge your mortal soul.
But you know what we get from that? Great woodworking.
Great woodworking. It's true.
We're back to woodworking.
True. And you know, really.
And weaving.
But then, when Charles Dickens came and he toured the United States, he was promoting himself, and he saw what the Shakers had done. He thought that their design sense was hideous and barbarous. He liked all of that eclectic stuff of the 1850s, and he found the Shakers' work to be barbarous and bereft of delight, and he was not...
No ornament.
No ornament. And he was not unique. I mean, Ruskin found the Shakers to be... John Ruskin, who was the architectural writer, found them to be a horror.
I wonder what Trump thinks.
We know what Trump thinks.
Does he think?
He loves...
No.
Donald.
He loves the gold-plated thing, Donald.
Ornamentation.
You know, richer is better. I did work on the Trump Soho Hotel condo project.
Did you?
I did. Yeah, I was the guy who was authorizing the monthly money in the beginning, and I have to say that the quality of construction on that project was the worst I have ever seen.
I can't wait to live there.
Really?
Right? So do you think
I can't
some
wait
of
to fall through three?
Can we speculate that some of these empty condos,
right there on
are
going to
become senior condos? What do you think?
No.
Okay,
that's a travesty.
Right. Well, there's so much empty stuff. Why not have a whole high-rise full of,
That's a good idea. That's a great idea, but not if it's bad construction.
Oh, well, you wouldn't want that. Yeah, you wouldn't want to be living...
And you have to put in lifts. You can't have stairs.
Well, high-rises come with elevators.
Okay. You know? All right.
That's one of the advantages. You know, if you look at these European projects that are for elderly, they don't have curbs. They don't have, you know, for the roads and all. I mean, they're really, like, totally designed for... They call universal design.
For rolling around in your wheelchair.
And if you, you know, if you look at the urban highway, I mean, they're all the same. You know, you go in, you roll into your elevator.
You know,
and it's easier to get to your apartment in some ways than to, you know, roll through the parking lot.
That's true, but the thing about having something within the city, and I know with New York, what if you want to go out of your neighborhood? That's where it's not easy, unless you have a driver. Because public transportation is not going to work for you.
Right. But they
do have drivers. But it just takes a long time to get the lift
down.
They do have drivers.
Do you? I mean, what do you think about the issue of ghettoization of the elderly?
I think it's hideous.
Yeah, agreed. And these got to be 55 or older communities, I think, are an atrocity. I mean, you know.
Totally.
God, how dreary. What? In my little neighborhood in Rowayton, Connecticut, it's a dead-end little private road. One of the most wonderful things is that there are kids playing in the street. And, you know,
it is
beating each other up and shouting and yelling and then there's me, and then there's an older woman who's across the lane, and she's got a beautiful garden, and you don't really have to know everybody, but there's life,
right?
And it gets mixed up a little bit. And then across the main road there,
they're
big houses with lots of kids, and it's the sound of life.
Yep.
Now, I guess there are some people who get old and cranky, and they don't want that.
That's right.
But there's.
But they have to be part of the community too. One of the great joys of being a kid was hitting the ball into the crab's yard and having them run out, and we go trying to retrieve it before they could smack us. Yeah, things like that.
I was always breaking somebody's window accidentally.
Crabby old person who
doesn't want to be bothered.
Doesn't want the children to play.
Yeah, Mr.
As
Wilson.
As well as the ones who support them. That's right.
Mr. Wilson.
Oh, Dennis the Menace.
Yeah, you have to have the opposition in society. Yeah. What fun is it?
Now, see, that would work in collective housing.
If you made it diverse.
But we don't have that in this country yet.
No, there was
one project I read about in Harvard Magazine that's up in New Hampshire, and the individual houses are very minimal, and then there's the community house, and it's got all sorts of living spaces and a communal kitchen. Now, the individual houses have their own kitchens, and they have to because of the building code, but they do, the people who choose to live there have a common garden that they all tend, and they tend to aggregate in the evenings in the great hall space for fellowship and for community. Like Green Camp, Bat Cooper, there was this dairy farm. It's still there, but it no longer is part of the Cooper Union establishment. It was Peter Cooper's dairy farm. Now, Peter Cooper was, everybody knows that he made a lot of money making iron for the railroads, but then he got interested in manufacturing glue from the hooves of his dairy animals, and also then he invented Jell-O, and he had a dairy farm in Ringwood, New Jersey, which one of his heirs bequeathed to the Cooper Union, where Dr. Allspector and I got our undergraduate degrees. And students would go up originally to learn surveying, but then it was open to art students and architecture students as well as engineering students. And we would go and we would just hang out. And there were big, big dorm spaces. And then there were all other individual houses where you could sleep. But we'd all get together.
It was very communal. Yeah.
Yes, in the main building. And there's this wonderful flagstone floored great room with an enormous fireplace and a huge sofa, and people would just pile into the sofa like a bunch of puppies, and then there was a dining hall, and there was a big kitchen, and someone would be making scrambled eggs for 50 people, and you'd all just put a little bit of money in. Somebody with a car would go to the shop right over in Ringwood or someplace and bring all the stuff back, and we'd cook, and some people would cook, and other people would wash the dishes, and other people would serve. And
that's a good model.
And it worked.
Yep.
It worked.
I mean, the other model is like a share house in, the Hamptons or in Fire Island or somewhere, where you take turns cooking and all that.
Right.
Which is co-housing. But co-housing also includes, or collective housing, includes all ages. Ideally, I think.
I think it must.
They want to diversify the community.
Sure.
They see that as a boon, as a benefit.
And now, I have no experience of a kibbutz. Have you ever been on a?
I have, actually. I have many years ago.
And how does that work?
Many years ago. Well, I was a guest, but I did do a little work. After a couple of days, you're sort of guilted into working. And
well, the Israelis are Jewish, aren't they?
It works. No, it works. And you feel like you've earned what you're eating, and
mm-hmm.
sleeping, and all that. So
well, and to a certain extent, the tribal collective nature of Roberta's Restaurant with Heritage Radio Network with Heritage Foods USA is a collective.
He's brilliant, isn't he? The way he works.
Nice
that
segue.
It is a collective effort, and that is one of the things. And there are all ages. I mean, our Miss Heather, who works at Heritage Foods USA and is a host on HRN, turned 25 on Monday. And then we have Bernie Wides, who's pushing 80, and he's the naturalist. Have you listened to his program?
I haven't.
He's Erica Wides, the chef's father.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
And we have the gamut of from...
There you go.
Just barely legal.
And I'm looking out the window at a 4-year-old little precious little girl, right? Sitting right there.
Oh, how nice.
Yes.
Kind of right up in her little high chair. And,
who knew that Roberta's had high chairs? Wow.
Excellent.
They might have brought it from home. No, I'm kidding.
No. They have a lot. I've always seen kids here.
Well, now that...
Always seen kids out the window. And they have their noses at the window, and I'm always waving. Mm-hmm. And you said, pay attention. Pay attention.
It's okay. So what we need, really, is for them to be able to listen to us if they wanted. You know, like the...
Headphones.
Wow, little speakers.
Cones of silence.
Like at a museum.
Or little speakers on the table. You know, like.
Yeah. True.
You put in your 50 cents in
the
jukebox.
Yeah, like a diner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
You should suggest that to them. That would be cool. In fact, the quarters could go to pay for, you know, the pizza and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Pay the host. Yeah. Oh, I made $3 today. Ooh, that's good. So. That's another model. The collective co-housing is a model. I like the idea of older people in an urban setting. As a matter of fact, a friend of the family, Rachel Klausner, whom I know through connections through HRN, is 99 years old, and she lives in an apartment where she has been since 1947.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Now, and she has very friendly younger neighbors. And when...
I don't want to even hear what the rent is, so...
$50.
Yeah.
No,
probably
less.
$1 and a
probably
quarter.
Less. Probably less. 47?
Mm-hmm.
Small.
I don't know what it is,
no.
But... so she has neighbors who are younger. Jim and Lorraine. And when Jim and Lorraine are home, all the doors are open, and they're at the end of this hallway. And talk about communal. You'll be sitting with Rachie having a cocktail. It's what I usually go over there for. She pours them stiff.
That's the Lorraine secret
will just walk in.
Longevity,
you know,
right?
Yes. You know, take a tape dispenser off the shelf and walk out. You know, but they keep an eye out for her. And she's always around to sign for packages that come in or something like
it's
that.
Really
because
true.
They don't have a super.
Yeah, it's really true. I remember my father, after my mother died, my father was like 80. He hung around for a couple of years in the house. And then he sold the house and moved into an apartment. And he loved the apartment because it was on a deck level. And the deck level...
Oh, yeah.
Had access to everybody's terrace, and he made friends with all the people, and they all really liked him, and they would all look out for him, and he'd look out for their kids, and it was a great model. Whenever we came over there, we were just amazed at how many friends he had. And I said, oh, you're Hirsch's son. Okay, which one are you? So we had two
you can make a lot of friends on a terrace.
Yeah, you can. I mean, a big deck. It was mm-hmm. like a deck, and there was a pool and all that. And so it was sort of like, I mean, it was individual
like
apartments,
boardwalk,
but it was like that.
Yeah. Well, let's take a little break and hear some more RecTech music from Nat Wiener. That was RecTech music. I was about to shove some bib lettuce in my mouth, but I guess I'm not going to do that now because it would be difficult to say. This is Burning Down the House, and we are talking about some of the ideas and possibilities for housing older people. Here with Jake Allspector, Caroline Bailey, and I'm Curtis B. Wayne, brought to you by TechServe.com. TechServe is your number one source for everything related to the Macintosh computer. It's a fabulous place on West 23rd Street in Manhattan, New York City. Thank you, TechServe, for being a good sponsor of this program for Wednesday, July 28th, 2010. So we've got the old model of the standalone sort of how, you know, just warehouse the old folks. We've got the idea of collective housing where there's a range of people of all ages. And then we have the
independent living.
The country club-ish kind of, they take care of you, but you can hang out and you can take your neighbor on a date to the club, which is, you know, I suppose for some people, if they've been habitués of the country club, they would find that very comfortable. Now,
I was just fantasizing about like having a community on Fire Island for the... Nah, that wouldn't be good. Forget it.
Well, it depends where on Fire Island and how good is the ferry service and how often do hurricanes come, you know?
Too often.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be 85 years old and have to worry about nailing
up the... exciting way to go, anyway.
Yeah, you could just get in your car and drive into the side of an overpass, too. That could also be very exciting. I mean, it really comes down to the whole notion of it takes a village, I guess,
you're
right?
Not going to get into assisted suicide now, are you?
Okay. You don't
that's
know.
For another show.
assisted dying instead of assisted living. I don't know.
No.
That's another
show. You can call
show.
Me Jack. All
right. Yeah, right. Dr. Jack.
Yeah. No. Although, when government funding comes into play in some countries, such as in the Netherlands, where they're funding elder care, they're also bringing stipulations about what medical care they will or they will not pay for, which means that if you're really ill, they're just going to let you die.
Right.
And where you live, part and parcel of that has got to be, do you have access to medical care? And is medical care from outside, or is it also internalized into the collective? I don't know. It raises very interesting sociological questions of how self-sufficient or sustainable would this integrated community that includes older people?
I would think that it should include medical care. We were almost on that path with Medicare, and of just they weren't covering what they needed to cover. And to have it on site and for everybody to put in a communal living situation, they could all put in some money for an on-site doctor for, you know, God forbid things happen, you know, so they don't have to worry about, you know, the insurance companies and whatever this new bill is doing.
You almost said insurance.
I almost said it.
You almost said insurance.
She sort of did.
I sort of did, but build your own
kinda
insurance.
Sort of.
With your... No, build...
Don't
within
you all
the
think?
Community, don't...
I'm sorry.
That's within right. your own community, you can be your each other's insurance, because you can't trust...
Well, yeah. And if you had a collective community, you could have physicians there. I mean,
they
you could have architects. I don't know what we'd be doing in the collective group.
Putting in a sink?
Yeah, well, that would... Yeah, well,
after it's built,
I don't know. Do you do plumbing?
What would you do?
Do I do what?
Do you do plumbing?
It doesn't have to work.
Mr. Architect?
You mean physically do?
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I can sweat pipes.
It's easy now with plastic pipe, you know.
No, you can't do plastic. Well, you could do some plastic.
You could do brazing with copper. That's easy.
Yeah, sure. Once you know how to do it.
It's fun.
I guess, we could do that.
Profitable.
We'd have to be fighting off the plumbers who want in, though, too.
Well, yeah,
and the electricians.
Union cards, you know.
That's true, right.
Watch out.
So, aside from trying to help older people find nice places to live, look, it's my show, and I can take it in any direction I want.
We're waiting.
Tell us about some of your comedy writing. For whom have you written, and has your stuff been performed?
Very small scale. Upright Citizens Brigade, sketch comedy.
Oh, right near my office. I love that place.
Yeah, you're up there.
The what?
The Upright Citizens Brigade.
Okay.
Which the guy that started it is actually my godmother's son, so I guess he's my god brother, Matt Besser, and he started it with three other people. So I got into that, and I would write to put the sketch actors would get on stage and act out what I wrote. And it was really fun. I do really, really, really dark comedy. I made the mistake of reading one of my plays to my father, and he said, "You need psychological help." So I didn't do that again. I didn't use him as a sounding board again.
No, but sense of humor, huh?
He's hilarious. It's just I really went really bad into a kind of a Lifetime movie parody of, you know, the father sleeps with the daughter. It's like, oh, yeah, you shouldn't tell your father that. So
No.
It was bad.
No, if my daughter showed me something,
I think
yeah,
I
but it wasn't.
You would say psychological.
If you've seen a Lifetime
too,
movie, you'd know that it was parody, and then it was the coach was
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well. But and then a lot of political satire. I actually got to take a class with the head writer for the Colbert Report, and he was hilarious.
Wow.
That was really fun. It was during the writer's strike, so he had to teach a class.
Sure. Yeah, because he had to be on strike.
Yeah, he was hilarious.
Oh, that's excellent.
But do you ever perform or just write?
No. I do not get on stage. Right. Just write.
Why not?
I would probably throw up and then cry and then throw up again.
That could be funny.
It would. And that's what I wrote. That's but great. They'll bring the writers on stage at the end of the play.
Do you do comedy for the elderly, too?
No. I obviously have a huge gap there as far as they don't even know what a Lifetime movie is, so, or anything else. And the British humor, they're more Monty Python. My dad loves Monty Python. I'm more, you know.
Terry Gilliam.
Yeah, or... Yeah,
like Brazil, which is very dark.
Yeah.
But very funny.
There's a show called Jam, J-A-M, and you can't find it anywhere. You can't even find it in the States because it was so offensive to people in the United States, but it was a British comedy that just...
More offensive than Little Britain?
Way more offensive than Little Britain.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen Little Britain.
Yeah, as have I.
It's
pretty rank.
Yeah. So, I enjoy it. Not many people do. I won't get too into it because it could offend.
So what?
So what?
No, what interests me is one of the things that interests me about the whole world here that's been created between Roberta's and Heritage Radio Network and Heritage Foods USA and Slow Foods USA. It's all integrative, and everyone who's involved has many, many different interests,
mm-hmm.
which is... I think the direction of life now and in the near future. I mean, so you could be working on helping to manage sending people into places where they would like to live in their old age, but you could also be writing at the same time, and you can be, and we can all be thinking about Dr. Mead and cultural anthropology and Jake Allspector over here. You know, he supported himself playing guitar for Sesame Street.
Children's
electric workshop right out of college.
Children's television workshop.
In college, I was a line cook for 4 years, but I'm an architect. And 2 months ago, just to make some money, I was doing landscape installation.
Nice.
Everybody's
got
commune. It's the Marxist ideal. You could have multiple careers. Overlap.
I couldn't have a Marxist-Leninist collective, but I could have a Yankee collective, which sets the whole
what's the difference?
Redistribution
of
wealth.
But careful what you call it.
Back.
You can't be a socialist communist.
No.
Not today.
No.
Maybe 2 years ago.
Well, I think, you know.
No, I love the communist idea, but you just... So many words are found to be a... Don't say it.
Hot button
or
words.
Touch.
Don't say Marxist. Don't.
Well, yeah. Well, we don't want to get political in that way.
No.
In 2 weeks, the two chief curators of Mad Museum on Columbus Circle, the Museum of Art and Design, will be joining us. I want to talk at that time, speaking of politics, about, you know, trillions to bail out the banks, not one fucking penny for the creative arts. That is atrocious. Shame on you, Mr. President. Shame on you, Congress.
Let's not get political.
How can we have a How can we have a strong country without creative arts? What are we supposed to do in the creative arts? Panhandle?
Yes, actually, I worked at the Guggenheim Museum, and that's...
You did?
Oh, I don't want to say that on the radio.
Oh, you did?
But I did,
what's wrong
yes,
with that?
I did. Well, I don't want to say that, you know, the development group at the Guggenheim, you just... It was. It's just going out.
I worked on the Guggenheim
begging.
Museum.
You
yes,
did?
You did. Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was with Charlie Guathamy when they put the addition in. You were probably
the
chief
addition and renovation. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I worked there last year.
So what are they going to do for us? Let us starve?
Who?
The Guggenheim?
No.
That's what I thought he was talking about.
Our Congress.
They owe us.
Our Congress seems to think that somehow the country could live without creative arts. Well. What are we supposed to do? Other than form up you know, into extended families and look out for each other.
I say wait till the midterm elections, man. We're going to get them.
Yeah, I don't see any creative ideas coming out of Congress other than write a check for the banks. Buy a car company. Well, they bought
worst
two.
Advice ever.
They bought two.
Well.
You know, they bought a piece of Chrysler and they bought all of GM. I mean, you know. Where is the WPA when we need it? Yeah. I mean, the country is just getting more ugly every day.
Yeah.
Yep.
We have time. We could be doing things. But, you know, we can't afford to do it for free, and we still have to pay our rent,
if we have to eat. If you had one of them here, they would say, well, we've got stimulus money flowing out there
yeah.
for infrastructure.
For potholes. Or as... last week, I had Julie Jovine, who's the executive editor of the Architects newspaper, said, well, who doesn't love a water tunnel, you know? Sure, but where is the WPA version 2.0 when we need it?
Yeah.
It's atrocious. Among architects, 66% are either unemployed or underemployed.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And
every week I have lunch with somebody who's like trying to, you know, help or looking for work. It's terrible.
I got an email from one of our listeners, a fellow named Gary, who used to work for Richard Meyer. 3 weeks ago, he was working for Meyer. Now he's out.
Mm.
Feel for you, man. Sorry to hear that. It sucks.
Yeah, the Guathamy office is down to, I don't know, 10 or 15 people.
From?
I don't know, 80 maybe, 8 years ago?
Yeah. I mean, big space, you had a lot of people there at one time, right? So,
it's going to come back.
Well, let me see. No,
it's just going to take a few years. But
yeah, I mean, if we can continue to eat and pay
they're saying rent. 5 years. They're saying after
see,
5 years.
But the genius of collective housing is that, you know, you've got, well, first of all, what it looks like in terms of a design solution is incredibly variable. But you've got people who are living together, and there is not the requirement of individual household capital on such a grand scale because you're sharing a lot of the big ticket items,
yeah,
like the living room.
I don't know much about the financing, maybe you do, about these projects, but I was reading in some of these Danish models that at first this whole collective housing thing was very expensive. And that they've managed to find ways to make it affordable and subsidized by the government.
Yeah.
But I don't know that much about
it. But that's Denmark. And
right. That's not going to happen here. It won't be subsidized by the government. That part won't happen here.
No, but if you have many hands, makes light work.
If you have many individual investors that are interested in the project and maybe want to live within it, I think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've come to our legal limit of rant.
No!
But we can reconvene again. This has been Burning Down the House on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm Curtis B. Wayne. We were joined by Caroline Bailey and Jake Allspector. Brought to you by TechServe. Produced by Dan Bridell. Engineered by Nat Wiener. Thanks, guys. Talk with you again soon.